So this month, I have bolded, marked, and made sure that that will not happen today. Let us just take a deep breath in. Have you ever thought about extravagant gifts? Perhaps you've watched a TV or a Netflix series about extravagant mansions or lifestyles. Extravagant isn't a typical conversation word. In the everyday world, we wouldn't typically say, "That meal was extravagant," or "The university I'm going to is extravagant." Well, I looked it up this week. I wanted to see what the good old internet would say about extravagant gifts. There were lists and lists and lists of them. You may be a little surprised, like I was. On the list was Apple AirPods Max, Chanel bicycle, owning your own waterfall, infrared sauna blankets, private island, Bombardier jet, a bread oven, and a diamond ring. What exactly are these kinds of gifts, and who decides when something reaches a level that is grand and extravagant? Several churches ago, when I was in ministry in Vancouver, I remember the time when the congregation received a beautiful bequest after a member died. A deeply generous, extravagant gift of money. How wonderful to receive an unexpected financial blessing in a time when budgets mattered and expenses were high. It wasn't until the board received the details when they discovered that the deeply generous gift was given specifically for a brand new dishwasher, meaning that was the only reason why the money could be used. They were surprised and delighted and full of wonder, because there was just a brand new dishwasher recently purchased. Perhaps this faithful servant spent so many hours in the church kitchen and didn't like the newly arrived dishwasher. Perhaps there was another reason. There may have been some hidden messages there that the person was trying to state through their extravagant gift. Last Sunday, I attended another United Church, and to my surprise, the finance team led the entire service. What a great idea, hey, finance team? Aha, I put that up here. At the beginning of the worship service, the chair of finance announced that it was the first time they were doing this, meaning the finance team volunteered to lead worship and not talk about budgets, shortfalls, fundraising, and stewardship. Instead, they leaned into their financial lens and shared reflections and visions for the church based on where they see the value through the work that they witness. They shared their extravagant gift of knowing dollars and signs and visions for dreams ahead. So this story that we have in front of us today of Jesus and Mary and Judas, Mary being anointing Jesus and Judas objecting, Mary, a devoted disciple, a model for following the way, living out discipleship, and sharing her costly perfume made of pure nard by anointing Jesus' feet and wiping them dry with her hair. Nard, an uncommon perfume extracted from grasses grown in India. Juices squeezed out, dried, and made into perfume, a costly process, an extravagant gift, a profoundly powerful moment exchanged between Mary and Jesus. Judas objects to what he considers to be a waste of money, a thief, a hypocrite, for he objected not because he thought that the money used to purchase perfume should be given to the unhoused, but because he wanted the money for himself. We all know that money changes things. When churches don't have enough money or run out of money, we witness denial, struggle, anger, sadness, and eventually closure. I believe there's been something like 16 United Churches close over the last few years just in British Columbia. And we all know that money strengthens us. Here at Gilmore Park, the beautiful work of the Sharing the Wealth ministry, we deepen our presence and connections in the community while supporting people of all ages. And we all have opinions, just like Judas. He named that Mary wasted perfume. Yet Jesus didn't seem to be worried at all. In fact, like he does in other stories, Jesus defended Mary. Jesus defended women. "Leave her alone," he said. I'm sure we can relate to this in-house conversation where one person purchases something that another person doesn't agree with. There's a protest, an uproar. Sometimes, like Judas, there's ill intent behind it. A theologian who wrote and reflected on this scripture looks at extravagant gifts as gifts that are put in the air. Put in the air. Like our choir, who practice every Thursday and warm up on Sundays and prepare an anthem and sing it, and then within minutes, it's finished. Like teachers who spend hours preparing for lessons and quizzes, and within a few minutes, the lesson is done. Or cooks, my favorite one, as I love to spend time in the kitchen, standing for hours, peeling, chopping, seasoning, defrosting, only for the meal to be consumed in minutes. Why do all this? Well, love has its reasons, and through Jesus' love, we experience the miracle of generosity, and generosity breeds generosity. Mary's act of devotion towards Jesus was extravagant, for as a disciple, she washed feet, and her feet were washed. A typical life of a disciple. And through the perfume she gifted Jesus with, an act that was full of endless love, noticing the extravagance with the act of drying his feet with her hair. Think for a minute if Mary was here right now, the smell of perfume in the air filling this space. There are many gifts we receive through smell: baked bread, coffee, flowers, entering a home and the smell of stew, waking up to cinnamon buns waffling through the home. Church on the Corner, which you see in the photo, is located in Islington, London. My family and I discovered it last October while walking the neighborhood. Church on the Corner is a ministry of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and was birthed out of a church and congregation located nearby. But like many churches today, they were struggling financially with leadership burnout and with Sunday numbers. So they prayed, and they prayed for a new vision, and the bishop saw their vision. And one day they were given the extravagant gift of money along with the blessing of leadership and a space in this old London pub, now known as Church on the Corner. They offer weekly evening worship, which they describe as simple, thoughtful, and welcoming. They also describe it as there are no hymn books or stained glass. We love traditional church, but we understand that these days lots of people don't really get that. During the week, they have Cozy Corner, a program that's drop-in with puzzles and games and soup and coffee. And they also offer Arts on the Corner, an amazing arts program, a community space for anyone to drop in and do art of any kind. The extravagant gift of community, for community, in the community, gathered in God's space. We are nearing the eve of Holy Week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we know what is coming. Like Mary anointing Jesus, it seems that she also knew and had a sense. Preparing for what was ahead, Jesus said, "She bought the perfume so she can keep it for the day of my burial." Theologian Stephen Shoemaker wraps it up so well. He says, "We are invited to daily companionship with Jesus at the table in extravagant acts of compassion and generosity in moments of worship. The extravagant gift of all." Amen.
Let us come to God in prayer. Holy and living God, we are thankful and grateful for the space and your presence, for the hope and renewal of life, for your presence in the beauty of the world around us, the colorful spring, the continuous signs of rebirth and recreation. Help us to be always aware of your presence and teach us to be good steward of and take care of this creation that you entrusted to us. Compassionate God, give us the sense of your presence when we are overcome by fears and worry for the things happening around the world at the times of our weakness and helplessness. We lift up our prayers for the people of Myanmar and part of Thailand and China affected by the earthquake last week. We pray for the lost lives and livelihood, those needed support,